Good Thursday. Today is January the 8th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, a lot of times when we talk about soil fertility, we're talking about the big three, N, P, and K, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, or potash. Today, though, we want to look about the importance of some of the secondary nutrients and micronutrients and the functions they serve. We'll have all the details after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to take some time this Thursday morning and talk about fertility and plant nutrients, not your typical big three of the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, but we're going to take a look more at the micronutrients and some of the secondary nutrients. Today's information comes to us from Jim Horman with Horman Soil Health Services. He said, for good soil health and good plant health, the secondary nutrients of calcium, sulfur, magnesium, and micronutrients are very important. He said calcium is the third most plant abundant nutrient, and it's a major regulator of plant hormones for plant growth and yield. However, to get calcium into the plant, you need a boron. That's a micronutrient. And boron is sort of like a bus driver hauling calcium into the plant. Unfortunately, there needs to be a soil balance because calcium ties up boron and vice versa. So too much of either one or too little causes poor growth and low yields. Adequate calcium promotes more roots, bigger shoots, bigger leaves, more flowers, more pollen, and ultimately higher yields. Now, another one is sulfur. That's an important nutrient, especially for building critical plant amino acids. And as an electron donor, sulfur helps plants control light intensity, heal wounds, improve drought resistance, survive cold weather, and act as a powerful antioxidant by binding heavy metals. Now, when acid rain was prevalent about 50 years ago, farmers got their sulfur for free at a rate of 20 to 30 pounds an acre. With the 1980s environmental cleanup, farmers now only get about 6 to 10 pounds per acre. Sulfur is almost universally low on most soil tests now. Farmers need 1 pound of sulfur for every 10 pounds of nitrogen that's applied. And with sulfur levels so low in the soil, adding a little extra may be beneficial since much of the nitrogen and sulfur comes from soil organic matter and microbes rather than from applying fertilizer. So you can figure about 2.5 pounds of sulfur for every 1% soil organic matter, roughly 6 to 10 pounds from the atmosphere. Now, high-yielding soybeans will need some more sulfur. Magnesium, that's a third one he talks about as a nutrient, often gets that bum rap. High soil magnesium levels make soils tight and compacted. However, magnesium is the central element for plant chlorophyll. Now, most plant available magnesium comes from soil organic matter, so high levels of soil organic matter will buffer the negative effects of magnesium and make it more available to plants. Low soil organic matter, however, and high magnesium make soils tight, but higher levels of soil organic matter, again, and buffer the effects of that high magnesium and improve the aggregation. Sandy soils do tend to be low in magnesium. Iron, another one he mentions, is not a micronutrient actually that farmers worry much about because most clay soils have a lot of iron, but unfortunately without adequate or high levels of soil organic matter, the iron is either not in the right form for the plants or it's tied up by other nutrients. Iron is crucial because it activates the enzymes to make chlorophyll. Cold, wet spring conditions result in yellow corn, and this can be a combination of nitrogen, sulfur, and iron deficiency. Iron is critical for soil nitrogen transformation, so a lack of any of these nutrients results in poor crop growth due to reduced chlorophyll production and reduced protein, meaning the nitrogen and sulfur production. Now, other important micronutrients can include zinc, manganese, and copper. Zinc is an effective nutrient for reducing disease. Bacteria, fungi, and viruses cannot tolerate too high levels of zinc. Most diseases are associated with deficiencies of at least one major secondary or micronutrient. Zinc activates genes, DNA, and the RNA, helps plants survive drought and high temperatures, and also helps them survive the waterlogged soils. Stay tuned. We'll be back to talk more about micronutrients after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Picking up where we left off talking about micronutrients, manganese activates 36 enzymes, but its key role is splitting the water molecule. Why is it important? Well, water, when split, becomes hydrogen and hydroxyl, which are the building blocks for making plant proteins. Manganese increases phosphorus and calcium soil availability and helps decrease most bacteria and fungal disease. Now, manganese is often low in sandy soils, and soybeans often respond to foliar manganese applications. However, you never want to apply manganese and glyphosate or Roundup, as they will bind together. Unfortunately, for the best results, though, they should be done in separate applications. A lot of times folks will go through and make a manganese application a couple days after they apply their glyphosate. A copper, that is a central element in making cellulose and lignin. So adequate copper helps fight thin stalks and lodging. Now, only about 5% of copper in the soil matter is plant available, so it takes several years to break down. High pH soils do tie up copper, while low pH soils make it more available. And then there are three micronutrients that often get overlooked, those being chlorine, cobalt, and silica. Chlorine is most available in fertilizers, especially with potassium. Potassium, chlorine, and nitrates promote the growth of hormones called auxin. Chlorine may be deficient on sandy soils. Cobalt is important for nitrogen fixation, especially in soybeans. And silica strengthens cell walls and the plant's vascular system, creating bigger pipes, if you will, in the plant to increase nutrient flow. So keeping all the nutrients in adequate supply and a balance usually generates the highest and most profitable crops in the future. Information again today from Jim Horman with Horman Soil Health Service. That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.